Thank you and welcome, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. My name is Larry Dykeman. I'm Director of Communications and Education at NFA. Before I turn the program over to the panelists, I just want to make a couple of announcements. As the operator just mentioned, there will be a question and answer session following the presentation. However, please do not attempt to ask a question until you're being prompted to do so by the operator. Also, this program is scheduled to last 1 hour, and we will try to answer as many of your questions as we can within that time frame. If we don't get to your question, please call our information center, and you will be transferred to an OTC derivative staff member. There are two telephone numbers you can use to reach our information center. The first is 312-781-1410, and the second is 800-621-3570. You can also email a question to information@nfa.futures.org, and I will repeat those contact information at the end of the presentation. And so without further ado, I will turn the program over to Jamila Paracci, NFA's Vice President of OTC Derivatives. Jamila?
Thank you, Larry, and thank you all very much for joining this call. Before we get started with the formal presentation regarding our examinations of swap dealers and major swap participants, I just wanted to reiterate some key points of context. You will all recall that NFA acts as delegee for the CFTC for the processing of registration, and we do this for a number of categories. But for swap dealers and major swap participants, there is an additional substantive aspect to registration, and it is, I think you know, the submission of policies and procedures that demonstrate compliance with the Section 4S implementing regulations under the Commodity Exchange Act. So our first function has been, as a delegee, to review those policies and procedures and ultimately determine whether they demonstrate an ability to comply. You're all familiar with working with us in that particular capacity. The second role that we have with regard to SDs and MSPs is to conduct member examinations because, as you know, swap dealers and major swap participants are not only required to register with the CFTC, but they are also required to become members of a registered futures association. In our capacity as a registered futures association, NFA will conduct member examinations of SDs and MSPs, just as we do for other membership categories. As many of you know by now, we expect to begin these examinations this summer. And the purpose of this informational session is to ensure that the SD-MSP membership has the opportunity to learn more about what to expect from the first examinations of swap dealers and major swap participants. The launch of NFA's examination program marks a critical milestone in the implementation of Title VII under Dodd-Frank, and we expect that we will learn a lot from each other, especially in these early days. We've said before that this will be an iterative process, and NFA is committed to working with you as you strive to comply. Our goal is to begin a dialogue and to help you in your efforts to achieve these sea-changing objectives set forth in Title VII. As Larry mentioned, we will answer questions at the end of our formal remarks about these examinations, time permitting, and we additionally welcome the opportunity to speak with your firm individually if you have further questions that we don't have time to answer today, or if you have firm-specific concerns that would be more appropriately addressed individually. With that, I'd like to turn it over to my colleagues who have key leadership roles in the development of NFA's swap dealer and major swap participant examination program. First, Shuna Wong, our Director of OTC Derivatives, joined NFA in 2012 after a nearly 20-year career in internal audit in the industry. Cliff Allen, also a Director of OTC Derivatives, joined NFA this year after over 15 years of internal audit and operations roles also in the industry. Dan Liu, our Manager of OTC Derivatives, has over 8 years of experience in regulatory compliance, covering both futures and OTC Derivatives products. The three of them will brief you on the examination program and provide you with some key information about what to expect. And we look forward to hearing your questions at the end of the presentation and working with you as we all enter this process. Thank you again for joining, and I'll turn it over to Shuna now.
Thank you very much, Jamila. I will briefly describe our annual examination plan. then Dan will walk you through how we will conduct an examination. Lastly, Cliff will describe the monitoring program we are currently developing. So, with respect to examination plans, NFA is utilizing a risk-based approach to examinations. To determine which rules area to review and which firms to examine at any particular time, we will consider factors such as the inherent risk of the rule topic area and developments in the industry or at a particular member firm. Every year, we will develop an annual examination plan which will outline the rule areas we will review and the firms we will review with the approximate timing for that review. As I mentioned earlier, we will develop an annual examination plan which will follow our fiscal year of July 1 through June 30th. Our plan for the first fiscal year, which is from July 1, 2014, to June 30, 2015, is to perform examinations of U.S. SWAT dealers and MSPs with a focus on the role and function of the Chief Compliance Officer. Where affiliated U.S. SWAT dealer entities exist, we hope to leverage the commonalities between those entities and conduct a single exam visit. To date, we have spoken with a few firms and have gotten comfortable with this approach. Now, Dan will walk you through our examination process.
Thank you, Shuna. During our planning phase, NFA staff will call the firm to advise them of the upcoming examinations, and that we will send two documents to the firm shortly. One is what is referred to as a first day letter, which provides formal notification of the upcoming examinations, the expected time and durations of the on-site visit, and a request for certain documents to be provided on the first day that NFA will be on-site. We will plan to arrive on-site about 30 days after the first day letter is sent. The second document is a questionnaire, which seeks to obtain information to assist in the planning and scoping of the examinations. Some of it is background information. It addresses whether certain events have occurred, such as a change in CCO or a change in CCO's reporting lines. We will also provide instructions for firms to submit documents to us electronically through a file drop box. This provides a single secure location for firms to send documents, rather than having to email documents to different examiners. As mentioned before, we will start the on-site phase of our examinations about 30 days after the first day letter is sent to the firm. We are estimating 3 weeks for us to be on-site, where we need to cover multiple entities during one on-site visit. We are allowing for the possibility for additional time. Our examination team will be comprised of a director, a manager, and 2 or 3 examiners. Our on-site examination will consist of meetings and inquiries with key personnel to understand the infrastructure and procedures in place supporting the firm's compliance with the regulations. We will also verify our understanding by examining supporting evidence such as exception report, management report, or observing evidence real-time insistent. We plan to discuss any potential issue during the course of the examinations and not only at the end of the examinations. This will allow more time for any research or clarification that might be needed and will facilitate a smooth exit interview. At the exit interview, we will summarize our draft findings and recommendations. After the exit interview, the exam team will return to the office to wrap up any remaining items in order to close out the examinations. We will then finalize and issue a written report. Now Cliff will speak to you about the monitoring program.
Thank you, Dan Bang. As Shuna noted earlier,
developments or trends in industry and at member firms will help us to prioritize our examinations and use our resources effectively. To do this, we are in the early stages of developing a monitoring program, which we will roll out in phases over the next few years. Our monitoring program of member firms will focus on identifying significant developments at a firm. This monitoring will occur through a combination of meetings and the review of key reports. While we do not currently obtain reports filed with the CFTC, we are anticipating requesting these items in the future, as well as existing internal reports. We expect our primary meetings to be with CCOs who can involve other individuals as needed. Furthermore, as we develop a history of examinations and work more closely with swap dealers and major swap participant members, the benefit of that experience will help us to prioritize our work. Finally, in addition to planned examinations, NFA will conduct investigations due to events occurring at a swap dealer or major swap participant or due to developments in the industry that warrant regulatory scrutiny. This concludes the formal remarks, and we'll now be happy to take questions.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch-tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, press star 2. Again, if you would like to ask a question, press star 1 now. Our first question comes from Pam Collier with BTMU.
This is actually Charles Constantine from BTMU. We were actually cut off at the start of the remarks, and we just wanted to confirm whether or not the first year of exams would only include U.S. swap dealers and U.S. MSPs.
Yes, that's correct. The first year, we will only cover U.S. swap dealers and MSPs.
Thank you.
In addition to that, the monitoring that we will begin to do will assist us in getting to know non-U.S. swap dealers and MSPs, but given that the non-U.S. swap dealers and MSPs are they're working through a number of things with regard to substituted compliance, we are taking the lead from the CFTC with regard to developments there and the interpretation of what substituted compliance will mean. So we will keep you posted as those developments continue to progress.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ramona Ramsey with Bank of Tokyo.
Actually, that's Ramona Ramsey. I guess just a follow-up question to what my colleague just asked. With respect to, for foreign swap dealers and the right now provisional registration, when do you think, or I guess the question that I'm asking really is, do you get formally registered after you've gone through the examination?
No. The provisional registration of swap dealers and major swap participants is due to the ongoing nature of the 4S requirements requiring firms to submit policies and procedures demonstrating compliance with Section 4S of the Act. So the provisional registration process is actually quite separate from the examination process in terms of they don't relate so directly. The full registration of swap dealers and major swap participants will be granted once all Section 4S requirements are final and require compliance, and the firm's policies and procedures with respect to those Section 4S requirements have been deemed to demonstrate an ability to comply with the requirements. Therefore, that process will be continuing even while swap dealer and major swap participant members undergo on-site examinations with NFA.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Andy Rutherford with RBS.
Hi. So just to confirm, for non-U.S. dealers, You guys aren't expecting to do any sort of on-site exams until after, you know, all the substitute compliance determinations have been made. So, you know, as of yesterday, the latest delay of no action relief for non-U.S. person stuff. So I would assume then that you guys won't make a determination until sometime next year.
It's a little more nuanced than that, I would say. The on-site examination program that consists of evaluating the function and role of the chief compliance officer is clearly something that pertains to U.S. swap dealers because of the substituted compliance determination granted with respect to the duties of the chief compliance officer for non-U.S. firms. But that does not mean that NFA does not have an interest in non-U.S. swap dealer members. Therefore, there could be monitoring activities that we may engage in with non-U.S. swap dealers, for one. And in addition, the substituted compliance determinations are actually out, but what I was referring to is that the interpretation of what that means with regard to NFA's role and which requirements non-U.S. firms need to comply with and what to do when there are areas where there is no substituted compliance, all of those things are being worked out with the CFTC. We're in regular conversation with the CFTC about that, and so I can't say for sure that it would be next year when that is concluded. I think that there could be other kinds of activities that we may need to engage in with non-U.S. swap dealers, but with regard to the formal on-site examination of the chief compliance officer duties, that is something that we're obviously focusing on U.S. swap dealers because of the fact that those rules are not required of non-U.S. swap dealers in whole.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next question comes from David Bushman with Citigroup.
Hi, good morning. Thanks. I heard you say that you were going to call the firms prior to a first day letter coming out. Is that true? And if so, who would you be calling, the CCO?
Yes, we will be contacting the CCO or the compliance contact. And we will do that via a phone call with the firm, and then we'll send out the first day letter.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Atanya Fong with ANZ.
Hi, thanks. Just for where the first day letter provides 30 days notice to the firm for the on-site examination, will there be some sort of notice period for the monitoring, any calls with the CCO that we need to organize, what can we expect in terms of notice for that?
The purpose of monitoring is that it should be ongoing, and therefore I wouldn't say that, I can't give you a timeline as to when some sort of period of notice or anything like that. The purpose of a monitoring program is to engage in fairly regular dialogue, and it could involve calls or requests for meetings on an ad hoc basis. Certainly, if there's a request for a meeting, we will do our best to coordinate schedules for calendaring purposes.
Okay, thank you. And assume the contact will be made to the compliance contact.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Rona Verma with BTIG. Your line is now open.
Hi. Just wondering if the new swap dealers that are with provisional registrations, are they subject to exam for this year as well?
All swap dealers have provisional registration because the provisional registration status stems from the fact that not all Section 4S regulations are in final form or require compliance. And it also stems from the fact that in order for full registration to occur, all of the requirements must be final, compliance must be required, and the policies and procedures submitted by a firm seeking to demonstrate that compliance has to be approved by NFA in consultation with the CFTC. Therefore, there are no fully registered swap dealers or major swap participants. The registration status is provisional, but it is technical rather than substantive in meaning.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Just a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, press star 1 now. Our next question comes from George Galuso with McGuire.
Oh, hi. How are you? This is Chuck Galuso. Question for you is, if we're going to be on the calendar for examination in fiscal year 2014, would we have already received a first day letter, or is that going to kind of roll out throughout the year?
So our examination starts in July of this year. So it's really the fiscal 2015. So around the beginning of July, we will begin contacting the firms we are first scheduled to perform examinations and start that process of sending out the first letter and the questionnaire.
Gotcha. All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Stephen Chamberlain with Bank of Tokyo.
Hi. Good morning. I just have a question on the, in the past, the NFA has prepared a guidance document for preparation for examinations for FCMs, CPOs, CTAs, et cetera. Do you plan on providing one for swap dealers as well?
The swap dealer and major swap participant examination program, as you realize, is quite new, is just being launched, and so the accumulation of guidance and materials is small and narrow at this point, and which is why we're having this call. In the future, you can expect to see a more fulsome set of pieces of guidance, interpretive notices, et cetera, to help you both with your ongoing compliance as well as help you prepare for examinations. But at this point, no, there is not a guidance document that is going to be prepared, because we will need some time experiencing the examinations to identify the areas where we can generalize and provide the guidance. So at this time, if you'll indulge us, we anticipate, as we've said, giving you a call to let you know first day letter is coming and working with you during the examination. And over time, we do anticipate creating the full set of guidance materials that people who are familiar with the FCM examinations would be used to having.
Wow.
In the meantime, we are available for any question you have to try to help you out.
Thank you. That's appreciated.
No problem.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Belinda Blaine with Morgan Stanley.
You already answered this in part, but on the monitoring program, when do you expect that to begin? And also, are you open to coordinating with other regulators that have a monitoring program such as the one you're contemplating?
I should clarify what we mean by monitoring. The monitoring that we are seeking to do is really something that we've already begun, if you think about it. We've been working with swap dealers and major swap participants since their registration, and the purpose of our dialogue with the membership is to keep abreast of developments in general. What we are doing by initiating and developing a formal monitoring program is to really put a little more structure around that, so that we can ask key questions and obtain feedback from firms between on-site exams. So in terms of how we're envisioning this, absolutely, in answer to the question about coordination, we obviously welcome any opportunity to coordinate. NFA always seeks to minimize any kind of duplication, and we try to avoid any conflicts, of course. But coordination requires other regulators to also have what they need in place to provide that kind of sharing. So we have been in touch with both U.S. and non-U.S. prudential regulators. We've had meetings. We've introduced ourselves. And so the process of working with other regulators is something that we have done on a regular basis since the program was launched in 2011. The other thing I should note about coordination is that we are an SRO overseen by the CFTC, and so ultimately a lot of the formality and the ability to coordinate with other regulators will require CFTC engagement on an agency-to-agency basis. So we are also in dialogue with the CFTC about where we can see lots of doors for coordination, and we support their efforts where they try to begin those conversations. So in terms of monitoring, we feel that we've actually begun the beginning stages of that. We've actually already had meetings with CCOs at some swap dealers, and we'll continue those as the early stages of an effort to keep abreast of significant developments in swap dealer and major swap participant member firms.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Virginia Harnish with SMBC Capital Markets.
Hello. Our question is, will all U.S. swap dealers be examined by the NFA during this fiscal year?
We cannot, I hesitate to share the exact numbers of firms that will be examined in a particular exam plan year. Suffice it to say that each firm will be given sufficient notice as described, and we'll continue to update the industry if there are changes to the plan.
Okay, thank you.
Again, just a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, press star 1 now. Our next question comes from Antonia Fong with ANZ.
Hi. I wanted to know, when the time comes for the on-site examination for non-US swap dealers, should we be expecting you to visit us in our home office in Australia?
NFA has anticipated the fact that there would be non-US swap dealers back when the registration of swap dealers was anticipated, and we have prepared for on-site visits in the local jurisdictions where swap dealers operate. This is not a straightforward proposition, both in terms of resources or in terms of, I think a higher level of coordination is required with other regulators when it comes to non-US on-site visits, and so we are aware of complications, but it is our intention to conduct on-site visits of any swap dealer or major swap participant member, and the outlines of how that will occur, whether we try to make use of U.S. local persons to have conversations with, all of that is, all of those things are things that we keep in mind and that we try to consider. In terms of actually traveling abroad and conducting on-site visits, we do anticipate trying more efficient on-site, quote-unquote on-site examination, but we do not foreclose the possibility that we will need to travel abroad and visit with people in other countries.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Robbie McRue with Goldman Sachs.
This question relates to timing of the examination. I understand there are a number of firms and limited staff at the NFA. When can we expect, or can we reach out to you to find a timing, a window, when we can expect you to come on site to conduct the swap dealer examination?
We don't have constraints with regard to fielding your calls or questions, so you should feel free to call us. I don't think I've done a staffing update in a while with regard to NFA's OTC derivatives program, but we now have a staff of 68 individuals focused on swap dealer and major swap participants members. So we are very comfortable having you call and ask any questions you need. We certainly have people available who'd be happy to work with you. As discussed earlier, with regard to the general timeline, we will reach out to the compliance contact or CCO at each firm, and then subsequent to that provide a first day letter, which will then provide you with the notice regarding your particular on-site exam.
Thank you. Our next question comes from David Ryan with DTG Consulting.
Yes, hi. Dan, you mentioned earlier that you anticipate to spend, was it 3 days or 3 weeks with actual on-site visits? And a follow-up to that is that do you plan also on, of course, in addition to the chief compliance officer, do you plan on spending time with those who are part of an operational risk management overview, with actual traders themselves? How do you envision the actual on-site interaction to go?
So for in terms of the timing of the examinations, for a swap dealer, we do plan to be there for on-site for 3 weeks. However, if there are multiple entity affiliates, then we might need additional time for the on-site. And Jamila will answer your second question.
Okay, thank you.
With regard to the personnel that we may meet with, that will depend on the meeting, the exam itself. As any regulator and as a membership organization, our examinations involve a plan which we will share with the firm, and that plan can include conversations with a range of personnel. And so each particular examination will be somewhat bespoke in terms of who we may want to speak with, but I cannot predict beforehand what your particular exam will require or the personnel that we may wish to speak with.
Okay. So if it's 3 weeks, it's pretty fair to say that the breadth of the on-site audit itself encompasses multi-personnel and other departments that may go a little bit non-compliant, I guess, just observations of the operations themselves, I guess, right?
Any regulatory examination, I think most firms are very familiar with, can involve, you know, any number of personnel from potentially a range of places in the organization. But we will inform you at the time of your examination or ahead of your examination, if possible, of whom we would want to speak. And it's possible that during the examination there may be other people that are added depending on what we're discussing. So it's it will need to be a flexible process, but we will provide the normal kinds of notice and requests that you would be familiar with in other settings. With regard to the time frame, we've indicated that we expect to be on site approximately 3 weeks, but please bear in mind that this will be the first ever set of swap dealer of examinations under Title VII. Therefore, we're trying to give you a range to make sure that people are kind of familiar with what's going to occur so that you're not sort of walking in the dark. But the actual time frame could vary depending on your particular firm and the nature of questions that we need to ask.
Very good. Okay, thank you.
No problem.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Leonie Brown with Mitsubishi Securities.
Yes, hi. I had a question in regard to policies and procedures that were filed with you over the last 12, 18 months. When do you propose and how do you propose to provide us with feedback and your commentary on that? And as a non-US swap dealer, would that potentially be during the course of the monitoring or other exam visit?
The 4S policy and procedure review, we have provided feedback on. The policy and procedure review is an iterative process that we have conducted on a horizontal basis by rule topic area. We started with the chief compliance officer duties and role and appointment. And at this point, U.S. swap dealers have received not only informal but also formal feedback letters. And firms have actually, and we've actually requested revisions, and we have received revisions, and we're now reviewing those revisions. In addition, we are working with the CFTC on each of the subsequent areas of 4S review. For non-U.S. swap dealers, this process will involve a substantive review as well, and it will be very similar to what has occurred for U.S. swap dealers, which is that we consult with the CFTC with regard to the feedback and the things we have seen in the 4S policies and procedures. The CFTC then conducts a review of its own on a scoped basis and provides their further comments. And then after that, we send the formal feedback letters for final sign-off by the CFTC, after which those letters go to the firms for in order to guide them in revisions to their policies and procedures. So it will be a continuing process that will require rounds of comments and revisions, and I think that non-U.S. firms can expect something similar. As I've said, the substituted compliance framework has required a little bit of work in terms of understanding CFTC interpretation, but we would anticipate turning to the substantive review for non-U.S. firms and starting to provide that feedback soon.
Great. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Rona Verma with BTIG.
Talking about the substantive procedures now, in terms of the substantive procedures, are they going to be very similar to the substantive procedures that usually U.S. auditors, GAAP auditors do when they do the audit based on U.S. GAAP rules? And second question is, as part of your exam, would there be a technical review as well, which means looking at the systems as to what we use to be able to execute swaps or anything like that? Or would you require SAS 70 as part of your review as well?
So NFA's approach is a review of focused on a review of internal controls. So we will not be utilizing, as you said, approaches that a public accounting firm would use with respect to following U.S. GAAP rules. Our approach is to essentially understand the process you have and the infrastructure you have that supports your compliance with the rules and regulations. A number of this would mean discussions with key personnel, a review of certain reports, and of systems. At this time, there's no plan to do a technical review of the systems, but we would focus on controls surrounding the systems, such as whether a critical system has been reviewed or independently reviewed, for example, by your internal audit department.
And this applies to the new swap dealers as well, right?
In terms of, I think you've mentioned new swap dealers. Could you explain what you mean by new swap dealers?
Swap dealers that have recently completed their registration or are in the process of completing their registration.
We don't distinguish among swap dealers based on the timing of registration, I should note. All swap dealers and major swap participants are members of NFA, and therefore the programs that we will initiate apply regardless of the time frame of the particular registration timing. Mm-hmm. There are distinctions, of course, with regard to U.S. firms versus non-U.S. firms. NFA uses a risk-based approach, and so developments at a particular firm may impact the timing of scheduled or ad hoc exams, and of course it may impact the level of monitoring, but we don't make a distinction between new or older registrants, I should point out. With regard to the way we will conduct our examinations, as Shuna notes, we have a focus on internal controls. That does not mean that we will not require technical reviews at times. So just, you know, keep in mind that we have a responsibility as a regulator as a self-regulator, to assist the membership with its compliance, and we will use the tools necessary to do that. That will include an initial focus on internal controls and then some technical testing where required. So the nature of the tools that we will use with a particular firm or in a particular exam will depend very much on the context of that particular firm and the appropriate processes to use at that time.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Deborah Roth with Morgan Stanley.
Hi, thank you very much. Can you tell us, please, to what extent the CFTC will be involved in reviewing the NSA exam's progress or results?
The CFTC is NSA's oversight body, and the CFTC does audit NSA's exams, and so they will look at our work to confirm that NSA is carrying out its mission in accordance with the charter under which we operate. And the CFTC obviously is the overall oversight body for the swap dealer and major swap participant registrants. Therefore, it may have its own activities as well.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Marcia Tu with Credit Suisse.
Yeah, I was just wondering, will the examination team be leveraging the information that's submitted by firms in the 4S process and the monitoring process so that we don't have to submit it again as part of the exam process?
Yes, definitely. Our plan is to try to work, efficiently and effectively. So in preparation for the examinations, we definitely will look through the latest policies and procedures and use that to obtain our baseline knowledge of your process before we come on site.
Thank you.
We are currently holding for questions. If you would like to ask a question, press star 1 now. Our next question comes from John Bugman with BTIG.
Hi, yeah. My question is, do you have a list of focus issues that you guys are putting out, or maybe as you guys gain more experience with this process, will the NFA be publishing a list of common problem areas during exams for swap dealers? Thank you.
I think you can anticipate that NFA will produce the kinds of guidance and internal interpretive notices that you will have seen with regard to other membership categories in the future going forward. As to specific hot topics or troubleshooting or best practices, those kinds of things, we will have to see how things evolve, but you can expect the kinds of information that NSA generally publishes for member guidance and education.
Okay, thanks.
Sure.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ramona Ramsey with Bank of Tokyo.
Hi. Just to follow up on something that someone said, did I hear right, or did the NFA say that formal feedback letters have already been sent to some swap dealers, and were these swap dealers only U.S. swap dealers?
They were feedback letters have been provided to U.S. swap dealers with regard to chief compliance officer appointment and duties and business continuity and disaster recovery.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next question comes from George Galluso with McGuire.
Hi. I appreciate this will probably depend, a good amount on materiality, but is there, kind of a response you can give or some high-level feedback on how exceptions, findings will be handled throughout the exam process in terms of, interaction between us and you guys?
Our plan during examinations is to have a constant dialogue with the compliance function. So when we identify potential issues, we would discuss this at the time it arises, and with the hope that as the examination progresses, any clarification of the work that is needed is able to be complete by the end of the examination. At the end of the examination, we will summarize what we see as the potential findings resulting from our review.
Thank you. And just a quick follow-up question on that. Would you envision a scenario where there could be things that would go into a bucket of recommendations versus actual findings? Is there kind of a breakout there?
I think that that is something that's very specific to the a particular firm's exam, and so we will share with firms as we progress to the exam how things will be laid out. So we'll do all of that in planning and conversation with each firm.
Understood. And last, quick final question. Will the CFTC get a copy of the findings?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Rona Verma with BTIG.
These are just two separate questions. One is, will there be any joint examinations either now or in the future with other exchanges such as either New York Stock Exchange or with SEC or FINRA? And second, are you planning to designate an NFA examiner or someone that we can continue to have a relationship with if after the examination in the future in terms of getting guidance on rules and internal control procedures?
With regard to coordination, as I've noted, we feel very strongly at NFA that we should seek to minimize duplication and also avoid any kind of conflicts with regard to other regulatory regimes. We are very aware of sources of regulatory overlap when it comes to the swap dealer membership community. Where we will end up being in terms of the level of coordination and the tools that we use, I can't predict at this moment, but I can tell you that we have met with U.S. prudential regulators and we have introduced ourselves to at least a couple of non-U.S. regulators in order to begin a dialogue that will allow us over time to get better and better at minimizing these areas where there could be significant overlap. With regard to designating points of contact, we actually designated points of contact for all swap dealers and major swap participants at the time of registration. There is a relationship manager for each firm that the each firm can use as a point of contact at any time. As we head into examinations, firms will actually have multiple points of contact because they will have a point of contact on the examination side, and they will also have a point of contact in terms of the forest review. Those people work very closely together, and so you can expect that no matter whom you reach out to, you will be able to get answers to questions and not have to ask them multiple times. With regard to that, the relationship manager structure, we don't envision that you would forever have the exact same relationship manager, but we do anticipate in the initial 3 to 5 years that you will have one person that you can reach out to. I should note that it's not perfect, and there can be changes, and some firms have had their relationship manager changed, but we try to minimize the occurrence of that to enable you to operate more efficiently in terms of talking to us.
So this person, relationship manager, will be in addition to the FINRA relationship manager that we might have in existence?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We are currently holding for questions. If you would like to ask a question, press star 1 now.
Hi, this is Larry again. I know we're getting close to the end of the hour, so it looks like the questions are tapering off a little bit. But if after the conference you think of a question or need some additional information, I just want to repeat these telephone numbers for you to reach our information center. The first is 312-781-1410, and the second is 800-621-3570. And an information center representative will transfer you to an OTC derivative staff member to whom you can address your questions. You can also email your questions to information@nfa.futures.org. Thanks.
There are no more questions at this time. I would like to turn it back over for closing remarks.
Thank you very much. I'd like to just thank everyone for joining the call again. We realize the significant shift that Dodd-Frank represents and the tremendous work that everyone is undertaking in order to complete the implementation of Title VII requirements. We recognize that that implementation will take time, and as always, NFA is committed to working with you toward your compliance. So if you have further questions, we really hope that you won't hesitate to reach out to your regular contact or to the information line, who will then, that person on the information line will then direct you to someone on the OTC derivative staff. Thanks again. We very much look forward to our work together.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. You may disconnect your lines now.